You will gain new strength. You will mount up with wings like an angel, an eagle. You will run, not grow weary. You will walk and not get tired. Where's that verse? Isaiah 40, 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. I would suggest you need to memorize the Word of God. I'm serious. The word meditate. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scorner, nor walks in the path of the sinner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. Day and night he's taking the word of God, chewing on it, meditating it, digesting it, assimilating it, and putting it into action, living it every day. Living it every day. You can't live what you don't know. If faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, then your faith will only be measured by your ability to know and apply and walk in the Word. Jesus said, If my Word abides in you, and I abide in you, you will ask, and whatever you ask, it shall be granted you. You see how you cannot get away from the Word. I don't care where you go. You were born of that incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, that does not perish, nor will it ever pass away. Study the Word of God. Your prayer life is determined on your ability to know the Scriptures, to know the will of God, to know His mind, to know His heart, and to be in love with Him and to walk with Him every day of your life. Every day of your life. There was a man that got on the phone, called his doctor, said, "My wife is having a baby. The contractions are two minutes apart." I said, "Really, is this her first child?" "No, this is her husband." Breakdown of communication? Maybe a little bit, huh? When you go to God and you're asking Him and approaching Him, does He know you? Huh? Does He? Does He know you by name? Does He know you by spirit? Is your spirit fellowshipping with His spirit? Does He know you as one of His children? When you approach His throne, does He know you? Because the Bible says there are many at that point in day. He will say unto them, "I never knew you." They will claim that they have done many wondrous works. They have performed many great and marvelous miracles, etc., etc. But Jesus will say, "I don't know you." God needs to know you. You need to know God. Okay? We all have a secret weapon which can cure our deepest woes. It can tear down walls of hatred and confront our godless foes. Doesn't cost $1 million, yet it guarantees world peace. And that's not an A-bomb or an H-bomb, yet it makes the world's dreams cease, the world drums cease. It's not guarded from the millions. Each of us can do our share, grow stronger as you use it, for it's better known as prayer. How is your prayer life right now? How would you measure it? How would you measure your prayer life right now? If you were going to measure it, how is your closet? How is that secret room? How often do you visit it? Because Jesus told you to go into your closet, into secret, and ask your God in secret, and He will openly answer your prayers, right? How often have you visited that secret room where you are alone with God? Do you pray regularly? Do you? Back in the Old Testament and through the practice of those who were the people, you remember they go 9 o'clock, noon, 8. I mean, they had a time frame of where they would go to prayer before God and seek Him and seek His will. There was a regular context of tradition that they did that. You know, the Bible says pray without what? Wow. That means you're in a continuous communication with God. That means you are aware of God's presence in your life 24 hours. You are continuously. You see, all prayer is communication. That's all it is. It isn't some magic formula of words that you put together. Prayer is simply you, from your heart, fellowshipping and expressing your needs and whatever it might be to the heart of God. You're talking to Him. He talks to you through here. You talk to Him through prayer. That's how you and I share with Him. Now, how many prayers could you give testimony to in your personal life that God has clearly answered? How many? Can you just clearly say, God has answered this prayer and God has... You see, because the way God shows you that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him is that He answers your prayers. And my faith is strong today because I can testify over and over again of how many times God has heard my plea, heard my cry, He has answered it, and there's no denying it. It is as clear as, well, the Wolfgang nose on my face. It's clear that God has answered my prayers. Has He answered all your prayers? Does He answer every prayer? Well, I know the Apostle Paul appealed to God 3 times to have the thorn in the flesh removed. Remember? Did God hear him? Did God remove the thorn? The answer was no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. But God does hear, and He does answer, and there's no question about it. Why do you pray? Why do you pray? James warns that many people's prayers are never heard nor ever answered because they ask for and have a wrong motive. Can you pray for the wrong motive? Can we have the wrong purpose for why we're approaching God or things of that nature? Does our request to God need to be pure, selfless, empty in relationship? I believe so. How many times have you found your relationship with God growing more personal, more stronger, more intimate, in the context of your spending time with Him? I know my relationship with God today is determined on the fact that when I was a young boy living in an alcoholic environment and had nothing to look forward to, nothing. I mean, all I saw was pain and hurt, and that's all I heard. I saw it. I lived with it every day. But just down the road, there was these big hills where you used to go sliding. And then the time frame of my life, I don't know how many hours I spent laying up on the top of those hills on my back, watching the clouds go by and talking to God. I spent hours talking to God. I still do. I still do. You wonder, what do you do up there deer hunting when you don't see anything? I'll tell you what I do. I'm talking to God. I'm in His Word, and I'm sharing, I'm studying. I don't waste time. I do not waste time. Wasting time is the worst form of suicide there is, you know? And so you need to make that clear. But the point is, the Bible tells me this. Hebrews 4, 14 and 15 tells me that we have a great high priest. It doesn't just say we have a high priest. It says we have a great high priest. We have a great high priest. A great high priest. We have a great high priest. Okay? Who can sympathize. You hear the word? He can sympathize with us. That means He knows what you're going through. He knows what you feel. He knows your aches. He knows your heartaches. He knows your questions. He knows your fear. He knows you inside and out. And He has and is your great high priest. His name just happens to be Jesus. But He is your great high priest. He sympathizes with you. And the reason He can do that is because He went through hell for you. He was tempted in every way like you are. That's why, even though He's without sin. Have you lost contact with Him? You really lost contact with the reality of the fact that you have one who came down here, took upon human flesh, became you, walked on this earth, faced every aspect of what you face in life, went through it all, tasted it all, even went to the death of the cross, even was rejected by His Father on that cross and died alone for you and for me, so He could go back and sit on the right hand of God, not just as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but as your great high priest who you can approach the throne through. You know that? I mean, after all, how do you go to the Father if you don't go in Jesus' name? How meaningful is that name to you? Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name, Jesus. It ought to melt your heart. It ought to break through all the coldness and the hardness and the bitterness and the pain of life. And it ought to get you and open up yourself to somebody who loves you more than life itself and gave his life for you. His name was Jesus. And you cannot approach the Father except through the Son. You call to the Father in Jesus' name. And whatever you ask in Jesus' name, Jesus said, you know, think about it. The aspects of that and what that means to you and me. That we have a great high priest who feels and shares and goes through everything I go through in life. You're not going through it alone. No, never alone. No, never are you ever alone. You will never be forsaken. Isn't that what he promised? He will never leave you. Isn't that what he promised? But how many times do we feel like we're going through this all by ourselves? Think about it for a moment. Again, God wants his people, his children, to come before his throne. You know that, don't you? The throne is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you can approach the throne through your great high priest, even Jesus, who sympathizes with you. And there you will find help and grace in time of need. Now what it said? What will you find? Grace. And what? Help and time of need. How many times have you cried out for help? How many of you found that you don't have in yourself the ability to face everything that life keeps throwing at you? And yet we'll do what? Somehow or other, we just keep trying to do it on our own, don't we? Strange, isn't it? You see, the making of your prayer is being devoted to it. You have to be devoted to prayer. I said you have to be devoted to prayer. It's important. It's the most powerful resource that you have. You hear what I just said? It is the most powerful resource that you have available to you, and it needs to be used, and it needs to be confidently used, and it has to be expressed in faith. Believing that there is a God, that he loves you, that you have a high priest who sympathizes and feels and agonizes with you. Even the Holy Spirit, remember, according to Romans 8, but in chapter 8, he intercedes on your behalf according to the will of God. Did you hear the words? With groanings and agonizing and whatever, and making sure that your will and God's will comes together. And God is going to interact on your behalf. There's nothing greater than the power of Almighty God. Nothing. There's nothing impossible with him. Then why in the world, then, would I not approach him and pray, believing that God is going to take care of me? Answer. He promises not to allow you to be tried above what you can stand. He'll give you a way to escape, doesn't he? And so I believe that many times what happens in our lives, we can't get our eyes off the mountain. We still got our eyes on the circumstances when you need to take your eyes and put them on God. Does that make sense? Maybe you got your eyes, maybe that's what it meant, you know, focus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, who is the author and the what? Finisher of what? Faith. And what did Jesus say? If you have faith of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, move, and it will be moved. Okay? All right? So many of us stare there at that mountain, and we just allow the mountain to grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Sometimes I have found in my personal life, I don't pray for God to move the mountain. I pray God to give me the courage and strength to climb it and get over it. You understand what I just said? Because my God is not only the God of the mountains, he's the God of the valley. No matter where I am in life, God is there with me and he will do whatever. And maybe it won't be God moving the mountain. Maybe he'll put a tunnel through it. I don't know, but I do know this. If God said, it is appointed unto you and me that we walk by faith, not by sight. It's important, okay? Colossians 46 and 10 says, "Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and in the earth." Now listen, if God is going to exalt himself in the nations and the earth, don't you think he'd exalt himself in your personal life? You think he's going to let you down? Or you think, as he says, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will do what? He will exalt you. In what? In proper time. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Do you really know that he cares? Does Jesus care when my heart is... Does he? I mean, the songwriters put it all together for you and me. We ought to sing it. You ought to learn some of those songs and just go out somewhere and sit down and just remind yourself of what God has said to you and what others have experienced by putting it into music. There's a lot of fantastic songs out there. There really is. Listen to Colossians 4, 2 through 4, okay? Might want to turn there, but this is in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Devote yourself to prayers. What did you say? Devote yourself to prayer. Keep an alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. I mean, think about it. Be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. What does the word devote mean? It means one thing to read the Bible. Do you take your dictionary with you sometimes and look up the words and find out? Jeff does. He's a word study man. Devote. Devote means to apply complete attention to. When you're devoted to something, you're giving it your full attention, okay? It means to be consecrated to it. It means it is your life. It is your being. Your whole aspect of your being is this aspect. You see, this word prayer becomes meaningless to us because that's exactly what it is. Word prayer, prayer, prayer. Be devoted to it. Be consecrated to it. Be totally wrapped up in it. Make it the very source and the center of your whole being. Be devoted to it. To give oneself to it. That's devote. Amazing, isn't it? But prayer sometimes is just something we do. And it's a Christian thing to do. You know? And I guess to be a Christian, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to pray once in a while, right? Right? Seriously? Or is it your life? Is this your resource? It is it your energy? It is it where you get tuned into the God who created the heavens and the earth and made you and I in his image? And then ultimately, because we had sinned, he still loved us enough to let his son come down here and to die for us and give himself for us and to proclaim himself indeed to be who he is. And then have him exalted above all names of every name and given that great and precious powerful name that you and I approach God through, Jesus. Okay? Remember what Jesus said today in our text? What did he say? Three words. Ask, seek, and knock. Why would you do that? Well, let's see. Ask and it shall be. Oh, yeah, okay. Seek and you shall. Oh, wow. Knock and it shall be. Okay. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be open. What's the matter? God's opened the door to you. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Isn't that right? About a year or 2 years ago, I gave you a little formula. It's called ASAP. Remember that? Did you write it down? What does it mean? What does I have it stand for? Always say a prayer. ASAP, that's what does it mean? This is important, right? So ASAP, always say a prayer, always say a prayer, always say a prayer, always say a prayer. You know the word stop? You got the stop sign means step toe on pedal. In case you didn't know that, okay, step toe. toe, I'm pedal. That's what I was taught when I was learning driving lessons, and I remember my dad say, you see that word, S-T-O-P, yeah? Well, Billy, he said, that means step, toe, on pedal. I never forgot it. I just come up with a lot of new formulas, S-T-O-P, strength through our prayers. So every time you see the word stop, what's it going to remind you of? You're going to know that you receive your strength through our prayers. A-S-T-O-P. Some people thought it meant stop teasing old Pollocks, but no, it didn't mean that. Okay? Ask, and they said. Then he went on and said, oh, what man is there among you? When his son asks him for a loaf, will he give him a stone? If you ask for a fish, will he not give him and will he give him a snake? Will he? And if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. How is your prayer life? How would you measure it today? How effective is it? What is happening between you and your Father in heaven? James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. There are 10 things I'm going to cover very quickly that are essential for you and me being devoted to prayer. I can make them very quick. Listen to them. 10 things you have to have in order for prayer to be a part of your devoted life. Number one, you have to have a personal, continuous, growing relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to have. It cannot be something in the past. You've got to be growing. The Bible says you have to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus. You need to be growing in your relationship. If your relationship is stagnant, if your spiritual life has degraded and it is in an ongoing, energetic aspect of life, and you're not enjoying it, you're not loving it, you're not waking up alive and knowing that you're walking with the Lord, then your prayer life isn't going to be what it needs to be. You're not going to be devoted to it. Why? Because you go to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? Number two, you have to have a change in your perspective. Okay? God versus your own. Not my will, but thine be done. You know what the Bible says? If you ask anything according to His will, it will be granted to you. We need to be continuously seeking the will of God in our personal lives. Number three, you need to have a positive faith attitude. Let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. Because if you and I doubt, what does James say? We're like a ship out in the middle of the sea, being beaten about by the waves. For double-minded people are unstable in all the ways. Remember what my granddad used to say? Horse sense comes from a stable mind. What's the matter, Jim? Got to be in that aspect, okay? So a positive faith attitude. Even I believe God is there. God is over all things. There's nothing that He cannot be exalted above. He's bigger than an aspect of our life, and I need to put my faith and trust in Him. Period. Number four, peace in the midst of pressure. I said peace in the midst of pressure. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. How many of you have memorized it? I've had people memorize it, but do you remember what it says? Be anxious for nothing. But let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. That's the first verse, okay? Verse 3. But then he goes on and says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, accompanied with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You get it? Okay. Number five, a purifying effect on your morality. Because Luke 22:40 said, pray that you may not enter into temptation. I don't care what you think, but I know this. Every day I get out of bed, I'm entering into a world of evil. And I'm telling you, that doesn't matter where you go, what happens, or whatever, you'll find those who are in the power of Satan living all around you in this world today. They are. They are servants of him, whether they know it or not. Jesus said, you're either for me. Okay, I mean, there's no middle grounds, people. They may be good, good, good people, but if they're not for Jesus and living for him, they're against him. Period. Period. And so my life needs to be coming under the moral principle of Christ, and that is certainly what I pray for. God, I'm going to be tempted today, aren't you? I'm going to be. I'm praying, God. Remember in the aspect, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. James says in James 5:16, even then, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. There may be certain things in my personal life I need someone to help me with for, and praying with me that I can, God can help me and deliver me from it. Okay? Number six, spiritual growth in every area of your life. Every area of life. 1 Timothy 2:8, therefore I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without dissension. Having men pray. Now think of the man that God picked to open the door to the Gentile world. What was his name? His name was Cornelius, right? He was a Gentile. He was a Roman centurion, you remember? But the scriptures tells us what quality this man had. He was a devout man, gave alms to the poor, and was continuously praying. He was doing what? Continuously communicating, praying to God. He wasn't even a Christian. He had never yet heard about Jesus Christ. He didn't know anything about this great scheme of God, but he knew there was a God. And being even as a Gentile, he was praying to God continually. You need to, number seven, have a passion. What do you have to have a passion? You have to have a passion to obey God. Did you hear what I just said? You have to have a compassion to obey God if you are going to experience a devoted prayer life. Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. You command, and I obey. Remember, the wise man is he who hears these words of mine, and he acts upon them. He obeys them. And when storms come and the flood breaks and the wind blows against his house, what's going to happen to it? It's going to stand. Know what he said? You got to have a passion to obey God. Remember what Jesus, do you feel that? When's the last time you went to your garden and you sweat drops of blood? When have you agonized before God in such a way that you just broke out literally in sweat and tears, and you just your whole heart was broken, and you fought and you came to the point in reality of how helpless you were, and that the only way you could be lifted back up is that God took a hold of your circumstances in your life and he lifted you up above them? I mean, come on now. Paul was knocked down many times. He was knocked down many times, but he got back up, didn't he? So do you, so do I, if we have a passion to do what? Obey God. I want to do his will. I have a passion to do his will. And so you now. Eight, reliance upon God to meet your needs. Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, we believe that God is going to provide. Remember in Matthew 6:31, so on, God takes care of the birds of the air. Foxes have holes, birds have nests. How much more then will God take care of you and me, O ye of little faith? Isn't that what he said? We have to be compliant to the fact that God is the God who meets our needs. All right? Number nine, the power in our service for God. God hasn't asked you to do anything for him. He's not going to empower you to do it. I don't know if you've experienced that yet or not, but you need to. There is nothing that you do for God that you cannot do in His, and you need to be doing it in His power and through the source of His power. Therefore, God is going to receive the glory and not you. Jesus said, the power, the things that I do, I don't do through my own strength. I do it through the power of Him who sent me. Well, if Jesus couldn't do it through His own strength and through His own power, that God had to do it, then who are we to think that we can? We need to understand that God is the source of our power and that no matter what. In 1 Peter 4:7 and following, be of sound judgment, sober spirit, for the purpose of prayer. As each has received a gift, employ it in your serving one another. And lastly, productivity in every area of your life. I want to read John chapter 15, just a little bit of it. And listen to these words. This is Jesus speaking. And this is what He says. Are you listening? You say yes. Okay. Abide in me, I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Everybody see it? The vine, a grapevine, a branch, an apple tree, a branch. Unless it abides in the tree or the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, this is qualification. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. That's it. How much of this word really, truly abides in you? Have you heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it? How much of it really, truly have you and Lee connected your life to it? Like the branch in the tree, or like the vine, or the branch in the vine. Have you connected your life to the living source? This book, this is the living Word of God. It is alive and it's active, and it's the only source of power that you and I have. It's this book. And this word, God's life, has got to abide in you in order for you and I to have a devotion to prayer. Okay? So, again, Bible says, pray without ceasing. Jesus gave the parable of the man knocking on a friend's door because he needed something. And that parable we'll show later, but it says be persistent. Be persistent in your prayer life. Ephesians 6:18, as we read, be on alert. You know when Satan's going to attack you the most? You know when he really is going to attack you the most? How many of you have experienced the times when you've gone to prayer and you can't get your head straight? You can't get it right in your mind. You all of a sudden, you get confused and whatever else. Because I'm telling you, that if there's a time when Satan's going to approach your mind and your heart and try to get you from really communicating to God, because he knows if you open heaven's door, things are going to happen and it will be adverse to him. He knows that. And he'll do everything he can to discourage you, to stop you, and to keep you from being devoted in your prayer life. He'll do it all. He'll cause everything and everything to become all so focused in your life that you don't pray the way you ought to. So as you and I close this morning, ask, seek, knock. And we'll continue this series next Lord's Day, Lord willing. God's words says that everything is determined by your opening the communication. You see, God in His grace has offered you and me the privilege of coming to Him and approaching His throne through His Son, Jesus Christ. Hasn't He? Huh? Hasn't He? I'm going to quote one more verse. We're going to stand. The Bible says, are you listening? God is able to do far more abundantly above that which we even dream or we even ask through the power that is at work in us. Think about it. How powerful is your prayer life? How powerful is it? And how devoted are you to it? as we stand together and sing our closing hymn.